is Mackenzie Milton going to look like Mackenzie Milton when he was at his best at UCF?
If we had the answer to that question, I think a lot of the off-season anxieties would be gone. I mean, if we knew which Mackenzie Milton we were getting, this whole off-season would look different. But, yeah, that's the reason he's in the portal. That's the reason FSU was able to get a transfer quarterback, because there is an unknown. And, you know, UCF went with a different guy. Mackenzie Milton was the odd man out, and he chose to go to Florida State to try to pick it up 2 years later, you know, where he left off with UCF. Hopefully he is. I haven't gotten any negative reports or heard of any setbacks or anything that would lead me to believe that he's not going to be the starter for game one. But what form will he be in for game one or for the season? That's the million-dollar question, Bill.
I think we've touched on this. Might have been a couple of months ago. But the one thing that I'll be looking at is every time he's scrambling, I'm worried about him getting injured again.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm sure he's taken hits in practice in the spring. I'm sure he's gotten it out of the way. But like you said, there's that time in the game where he's going to get leveled and he's going to get up and everybody's going to, you know, hold their breath for a second. But, yeah, I think that's just part of the game. He's going to take some big hits, and from everything I understand, he'll be able to handle it.
What's the latest on recruiting in the Sunshine State?
Man, there's about 10 official visitors on campus this weekend. Florida State had a handful last weekend. They received a commitment from Omar Graham Jr., a 2022 linebacker from Fort Lauderdale. They also picked up a 23 wide receiver commitment. But 2022 recruiting is going a little bit better than expected, I would say. FSU currently has a top 10 class, the number one class in the ACC. Coming off of a 3-win season, I think FSU recruiting is going a little bit ahead of schedule.
I was looking, maybe this just popped up, but IMG just hired Pepper Johnson, is that right, to be the head coach?
Yes. Officially yesterday was the hire. I got the email from IMG, the press release.
Was he on the staff, or give me a little background there?
I'm not sure if he was on the staff, but it was a name that I was thrown out like 2 days ago, that somebody asked me if the hire was done. Was it Pepper Johnson? And I hadn't heard. And then, of course, 2 days later, I got the press release. So, yeah, it was, I guess, something that was being rumored. But, yeah, that's an interesting hire for IMG.
Here's my question. As big and mighty, and you're down there by them, I've never been on the campus, but as big and mighty as they are, when they have a coaching opening, is that kind of like a college rumor mill kind of thing? Is that how big that is?
Yeah, I think so, because they pay more, so you never know like what direction they're going to go in. I know when Chris Winkie left, you know, you heard coaches from St. Thomas to Armwood to Plant. Like, there was rumors that they were going to get the top high school coach, and they ended up bringing somebody from, and now they bring in Pepper Johnson. You know, even when Chris Winkie got the job, he was getting paid way more than the average high school coach. There's more that comes with it. And since Chris Winkie, they have divided that job into a couple. I know when he left, they hired a GM and a head coach. So they're kind of taking some of that responsibilities off of the head coach at IMG. So they just got a coach. But, yeah, it's a lot bigger than any other high school job, especially in the state of Florida.
You know what would be interesting? And I don't know how you'd go about incorporating this, but would there be some way to measure each incoming class at IMG in recruiting rankings with colleges in the same grouping?
Each income? You mean each exiting class?
Actually incoming, you know, because they go all over America and get players.
Right.
Could you rank them?
Yeah.
With like, that's
their
how good it is,
class,
though.
Right. Their recruiting class ranks up there with Alabama and Ohio State, the kids that they recruit.
It's amazing.
Year. Yeah. It is amazing.
That would be pretty cool. Now, the other thing that happens there is kids come from all over the place, other states. They're young. It's sexy. It's IMG. I'm going to Florida. The weather's good. They get down there and they realize they're not ready, and they go back home. That happens a bunch too.
Yeah, or they just realize, like, oh, this is what it's like to be away from home. Okay, I'm just going to go back home. Like,
right.
I don't need to go this far away from home to be away from home. I can be a couple hours away from home. But, yeah, I think just generally speaking, we've seen the fact that when it first started, I remember there was a lot of concern that the Florida teams were going to be the advantage of a place like IMG within the state borders. But over time, that concern has kind of gone to the wayside, like you said. A lot of these kids end up being, if not, I won't say returning home, but, like, they'll go back to the same region that they came from. Like, if a kid from D.C., you know, he's going to end up staying in that region. If he's from Baltimore, Maryland, he's going to end up at a Penn State or a Virginia Tech or, like, most likely that's where he's going to go back to. We've seen sometimes, you know, there have been advantages for the in-state teams, but I think most teams feel like IMG is a pretty fair place to recruit. Nobody really owns it. No one program has established, oh, this is our school. I think you see kids go all over the country every single year from IMG.
Several questions here on Twitter. Noel Cav up in Chicago. Ask Berg if Florida State has room to go after Malachi Wideman.
Do they have room? Yes. Are they going to pursue Wideman? I've been told no.
Rod, a Buckeye in Houston, Texas, says, hey, guys, Pepper Johnson had been on the staff as a defensive coordinator. Been there 1 year, he says. I thought there was some connection. I just didn't know. But he had been there. Jay Cutler's burner account says, ask Berg if he's gotten any coaches to come to the Cush House to light up a fatty.
Current coaches or ex-coaches?
I mean, either. You know, either.
No current coaches, put it that way. We've had some great prep coaches, you know, some great Pop Warner coaches in there.
Yeah, you probably don't want to incriminate any current coaches, but
no current coaches, of course.
That's a good question, Jake. I tell Jay Cutler's burner account comes up with some really good questions.
You would think so.
Now, what about let's say 5 years from now, and gambling is legal, Kush is legal everywhere. Is that something you guys would publicize then?
I don't know. Would you publicize drinking a beer with somebody? I think it would be about the same thing if everything's legal, right?
Yeah, I guess so. So if you were standing there with Nick Saban and you had a beer in your hand.
No, he wouldn't.
He wouldn't do the – Nick would not.
Right, he wouldn't. Right. So, no, I wouldn't be able to say that I had a beer with Nick Saban. No, he wouldn't do it. We got to normalize it.
I would. I'd be the first guy to say I just had a beer with Nicky. I'd post it right on Twitter.
Right.
Even if he didn't want to be my friend anymore, I'd still post it right there. I'd have it straight in front of everybody. So are we now? You just mentioned normalize summer official visits. Has that basically taken the place of January official visits?
I think so. And for good reason, for some good reason. We were talking to Anthony Lucas. Anthony Lucas is a 4-star Arizona defensive end, and he was on campus at FSU for an unofficial visit. But he's already scheduled all 5 of his officials. He'll take his trip to Alabama on Friday, and that'll be his 5th and final official visit.
Wow.
So Anthony Lucas has now knocked out all of his officials by the end of this weekend. And he's not making his decision until the end of the season. Why would you make your decision? He said, well, and it was a great answer. He said, I'm not going to make my decision until after the college football season because I want to see what coaches move where and what the coaching staffs look like. Okay, that makes a ton of sense. And then the next question is, well, why did you take all your official visits in the summer? And he actually had a really good answer to that. He said, I get to spend more time on the campus. When if I took my official visits in season, I'd probably be flying out after my football game. I would get there on Saturday morning. They have a football game all day, and then I would see them Sunday morning before I leave. And that is kind of how official visits go in the season. So there is a good, you think about the summer, there's not even students on campus. The visits, they can do whatever they want with the coaches. You know, you can get around town, you can get around campus. It makes a lot of sense to do official visits in the summer.
Boy, that is so different from history. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
The transformation in this whole game is very interesting.
And it makes sense. Like, I mean, it really, truly makes sense. If you want to get a feel for a school, I can certainly understand going on a game day. But how many home, you know, how many days are like that on campus? You're talking about like five or six days out of the year are like what it's like on a big game weekend. But when you go during the summer and you visit and you see the school, that's pretty much what your life is going to be like at that school outside of the couple months of season. So I do like the fact that you can take summer official visits.
Burke, tell everybody how they can get the Big Three Roll Up.
It is up right now on iTunes, Spotify. We had on a NIL expert, Peter Schoenthal. He is CEO of Athliance. It's an NIL company. And this thing, it's 6 days from now is when the NIL stuff goes into effect. So we had him on just to talk about what it's going to actually look like. What are these players actually going to make money on? When are they going to start making money? Is it going to be next week? Like, we had a lot of questions for him, and he is a CEO of one of these NIL companies. So check it out. It's out now on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts.
Did he address the question, what percentage of players actually can make money on this?
Yeah, we talked about the 1%. Like, there's going to be the 1%, like a Spencer Rattler. That was his example of somebody that could just use their name and image to just garner a lot of money on a sponsorship. But then there's the other 99% that are going to get creative. There's different avenues. He gets into it. A lot of this is going to be, unfortunately, based on precedent. We're going to see athletes push the limit to what can and can't be done. And somehow, you know, there's going to be courts that come into this and lawsuits. And he said that's how eventually this thing's going to, you know, be determined in the gray area, at least, of what can and cannot be done.
Wow. All right, Burke. Sounds very interesting. We'll see you next week, sir.
See you, Bill.
There you go. Josh Newberg with us every Thursday right here in this slot. Chris Landry, top of hour number two on this Thursday edition. 615-844-5600 from the F&M Bank hotline. That's, the NIL whole futuristic thing is coming rapidly at us. It's not that futuristic, is it? It's coming right at us. It's just around the corner. I'm interested. Now, again, I think it's a terrible idea, but, I can also find it very interesting at the same time. It's going to be fun. I mean, the conversations we will have regarding that are totally different than anything we've ever been involved in when it comes to college sports. I do find that interesting. We will take the break. Hope you're having a good one. Start to your Thursday. Omni, Nashville Hotel.